Well, as usual at this time, I'm delighted to be joined by Carl Merry, who has a story this week based around Colchester, I think. Is that right, Carl?
Yes, The King of Colchester's Daughter. It's a very well-known story. There are variants of this around the country. There's one variant from Ewell in Surrey, actually.
Mm. So we don't think it's necessarily true?
Well, no.
Right. That's honest.
Every story I tell is true while I'm telling it.
Right, okay, fair enough. Right, I've heard some politicians who say things like that as well. Okay, let's have the story.
Well, the King of Colchester, his wife had died some years earlier, but he did have one solace in his life, and that was his daughter. She was beautiful, she was kind, she was gentle. And she loved her father more than anything else. But like all men, he didn't like to be alone. He liked female company, and eventually he married another woman. And she proved to be everything that his daughter was not. She was unkind, cruel, nasty. And she brought with her daughter, who was everything her mother was. And they treated the King of Colchester's daughter so badly that after putting up with it for 2 years, she said to her father, "Father, I cannot live here any longer. I must go out and I must find my own way in the world." Now her father, the king, was heartbroken, but he could see what living with his wife and stepsister was doing to his beautiful daughter. And so he agreed that she could go. So she went to the kitchen to get a little food to take with her. But all that her stepmother would let her take was hard cheese and stale beer and bread that was covered in green mould. But she put them in her bag, and with a heavy heart, she walked from her father's home. And she walked deep, deep into the countryside and into a forest where she met an old man, and the old man looked thin and woebegone, as if he hadn't eaten for months. And the man said, "Please, please, have you a little food you could share with me?" And the girl, being kind and generous, said, "Well, all I have is some hard cheese, some mouldy bread, and some stale beer." "That'll do nicely," said the old man. And she sat and she shared what she had with him. And the old man said, "Let me give you some advice. If you continue through this forest, you will come to a big hedge with strong thorns. If you wish to pass through, you must say, 'Pray, hedge, let me come through. Pray, hedge, let me come through.' And once you get through there, you will see there is a well. Go and drink at the well. And as you drink, three heads will appear to you. Do as they ask. This is the advice I give you, young lady." And the King of Colchester's daughter, she continued on her way. And it was as the old man said. Before she'd gone 10 minutes, there in front of her was an impenetrable thorny hedge. And so she said, "Pray, hedge, let me come through. Pray, hedge, let me come through." And the hedge parted, just like the Red Sea had parted for Moses. And she walked through unscathed, unharmed, not a scratch, not a tear in her clothing. And then she came to the well. And she bent and put her hand in the water and raised the cool, clear, cold water to her lips. And she drank, and as she did, up bobbed her head. And the head said, "Wash me, comb me, lay me down softly upon the bank to dry, so that I shall look pretty when somebody passes by." And the young girl did as she was told. And no sooner she'd done that, then another head came up and said, "Wash me, comb me, lay me down softly upon the bank to dry, so that I shall look pretty when somebody passes by." And she did the same again. A third head appeared, the same thing happened, and she laid it down on the bank. And the heads began to speak, and they said to each other, "She is pretty, she is kind, she is good, but we must give her gifts. She is pretty enough. But I will give her charm," said one head. "I will make her body and breath fragrant with the perfume of flowers, said the second head. And she shall marry the best of princes, said the third head. Thanking them, the King of Colchis' daughter went on her way. She walked on through the wood. Morning came, and on the edge of the wood she met a prince, a handsome young prince, astride a big black stallion, and he looked at her. He saw her beauty. He smelt the fragrance of flowers, and he invited her to his castle. She jumped up behind him. They rode to the castle, and there he gave her fine dresses. There he gave her jewels, fine food. Day after day passed, week after week passed, and he fell more and more in love with her, the more he saw of her, and eventually that love led to marriage. And it was only on their wedding night that she told the prince who her father was, that he was the King of Colchester. Then we must visit him, said her husband. And the next day they both got on horses and rode to Colchester. And when they approached her father's house, when she dismounted in that fine dress she was wearing, with a beautiful necklace of jewels and a tiara that shone in the sunlight, her stepmother and her stepsister became extremely jealous. Well, she spent some time in her father's house with her husband, but then they returned back to the prince's castle. And her unkind, cruel stepsister said to her mother, if she can do that, then so can I. I can marry a prince, have fine clothes and jewels. Let me try my luck. And so it was the next day that the King of Colchester's daughter's cruel stepsister set out to try her luck. Oh, she was not given hard cheese, stale beer, and mouldy bread. No, her mother made sure she was given a fine hamper of food and wine. And she set out with a light heart, thinking she would get everything that her stepsister had. But when she met the old man and he begged for food, she would not give him any. And so she did not get the advice. And when she came to the thorny hedge, she tried to force her way through. And it tore her clothes. And it cut at her arms and legs. And when she came to the well, when the first head bobbed up, she hit it with a wine bottle. And when the second and third heads bobbed up, she served them the same. And the head spoke and said, this girl, we must give her gifts. I, said the first head, will give her sores all over her face. I shall make her smell like a pig who is rolled in muck, said the second. Her husband will be only a poor cobbler, said the third. And she walked on and on for days. And finally she came to a village. And people shied away from her because the smell of her was so appalling. But there was one man, a cobbler, who had no sense of smell, it seemed. But he did have ointment. And the ointment would cure her sores. And he had a bottle of spirits to freshen her breath. And he took her in. And in time they were married. Well, he was a good cobbler. But when her mother found out that she had married a poor cobbler, then in a fit of temper she killed herself. And all the mother's possessions and money went to the daughter. £100 she was given. And so they could buy a little better house. And the cobbler, he made fine shoes. And soon, well, if they weren't as rich as her stepsister, well, at least they were comfortably well off. And this girl had found someone to love her.
Well, there you go. I was expecting that she wasn't going to end up quite so well. But she didn't do that badly, did she?
No. I mean, lots of these stories, then the cruel sister ends up with red-hot shoes on her feet and dancing and various other things. But in this story, well, she does get something. She gets a loyal husband. Mm. And she gets her sores are cured, her bad breath, her smells cured. And he's a good man.
Well, being a cobbler, you could say that he was her soulmate.
Ooh.
Sorry about that. Anyway, what have you got lined up for us next week, Carl?
Well, this one is The Wild Man of Orford, which is another very well-known story.
All right, we look forward to that. Thank you.